going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast bringing lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I am your host, Sean Kane. Tuesday, that means we got a full slate. We got 14 games tonight. Last night, weird night. I'm not kidding when I say I wrote in the cheat sheet, the Cubs stack goes overlooked tonight. Sure enough, it does. Everybody's still in love with Asher Wojciechowski. He gets exploded. He has a massive fly ball problem. He gets blown up, back-to-back homers from Rizzo and Bryant, and it was pretty much over from there. Cubs just popped the top right off of him and just went to town. Orioles destroyed Yovani Gallardo straight off the bat, Tim Beckham home run. And listen, Jose Quintana, I talked about this on the show. He was trending in the wrong direction. There just wasn't much to love, especially against a pesky Reds team. I didn't say they were good. I said they were pesky, and they were pesky for sure. They induced like six walks. They loaded the bases twice, and they got Quintana up to 100 pitches by the fifth inning, and they yanked him. I didn't love it. Of course, my boy Jared Eichhoff making the Padres look like, you know, team of the future. Good gracious. But hey, we got 14 games to talk about. And so let's go ahead and start to get into this one and take a look at what Vegas says about tonight. All right, so we have 14 games. The Astros-Diamondback game is really appealing. Holy shit, Zach Greinke. There's lessons to be learned from that, by the way. Greinke goes out, tosses 6 2/3, 9 Ks, 0 earned, 2 walks. Filthy, 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 filthy. Talent wins. Talent wins. And the same could be said in this matchup tonight. Mets-Yankees, 8 runs projected here. DeGrom versus Sonny Gray. Gray favored in this one, 4.28 runs to DeGrom's 3.7. Listen, Rafael Montero was dealing last night. 6 innings, 6 Ks, 2 earned. That was good stuff. Guy has gas. DeGrom, he's a better pitcher. I don't mind DeGrom here. I think people will do the same thing they did to Greinke last night. Fear will drive them away. Angels, Nats, 8.5 runs projected for Tyler Skaggs versus Gio Gonzalez. Gio, the slight favorite in this one. Listen, the Angels get to Gio. They did it on the West Coast. They are a pesky offense. I'm off Gio today, not touching him. They are exactly like there's this range of pesky offenses. They take too many walks. They're patient. They work counts. They let umpires decide. You know, they take control out of the pitcher's hands, and the Angels are certainly one of those teams. So, if the Nationals are interesting here against Skaggs, but he just dealt a beauty in his last game, and he is looking like he is trending in the right direction. So, you know, do I like Ryan Zimmerman and Anthony Rendon against the lefty? Of course I do. I love them, but I think I would reserve that for tournaments. I don't think I'm going to go there in cash. Rays, Jays. Can we take a moment of silence, please, for the Rays season? Thank you. It's over. It's done. It was over when we went on that homestand and we just... It was over then. I mean, it was over when we... I knew it was over when we couldn't hit the Milwaukee staff for the life of us. And Milwaukee came out of that series and bounced back and had a couple good games. They were two teams hanging in the balance right there, really. The Brewers and the Rays right there, right, for the wild card. And the Brewers still have hope and the Rays have none. Nick Teppish was terrible. Walked a ton of people. Gave up a bunch of hits every single time through the order. Corey Dickerson was 15 feet away from a grand slam. And the Rays season is over. And I'm sorry. Tonight we get Marco Estrada. 9 runs projected in the Rogers Center. Blake Snell versus Marco Estrada. Jays are obviously favored here. You know, we know we can go after Snell. He was good in his last start. He was good. You know, he's getting to a point where he can give you 5 serviceable innings and not get blown up. you know, which hopefully that turns into something next year, because I like the kid. I think he's got good stuff. His pitch is grayed out well. I'm going to say this. If you see one Rays stack owned at 1% tonight, it's this guy. One more time. And then I got to be done. I'm sorry. Giants, Marlins, 7.5 runs projected in Miami. Giancarlo Stanton is not human. He is probably the best hitter in baseball. Don't care what you say. Honestly, here's my theory about Giancarlo. In Miami, home run derby, Aaron Judge is everybody's little plaything. He's so great. Aaron Judge this, Aaron Judge that. Giancarlo goes out in the first round. He loved that home run derby. You could tell he was taking it seriously at home. He wanted nothing more than to win that title at home. Okay? And what happens? He loses in the first. He then, in my mind, said, fine. If I'm not going to be able to do it in the derby and prove that I'm the best hitter in baseball, I'll just do it in the regular season. He now has 10 home runs in his last 11 games. If there's anybody who takes Mad Bum yard tonight, it's Giancarlo Stanton. So it's Mad Bum versus Straley. Mad Bum favored just by a hair. This is a pick 'em, lowest total on the slate, 7.5 runs here. Straley is in an interesting spot because, you know, he's got stuff and the Giants are terrible. But, you know, I don't think I'm going to go there. There's other cheaper pitchers that are interesting, but he's certainly contrarian, and I don't mind it. Mad Bum is in a great spot. Man, the dude is just cooking. It's really interesting. You look at his game logs, his metrics. The numbers are identical. 7 innings, 7 Ks, 25% strikeout rate. 7 innings, 7 Ks, 25% strikeout rate. Like, he is locked in. Locked in. Cardinals, Red Sox, 10 runs projected in Fenway. Wind blowing out at Fenway, by the way. Good night to go to Fenway here. Mike Leake versus Rick Porcello. Red Sox favored. There's a couple underpriced Red Sox bats that I'm interested in. But honestly, I see the Cardinals making this a game. I do. Against Ricky Porcello, they hit him hard in his last start over there. I like Matt Carpenter tonight for sure against Ricky. Could be a good one. Could be a good way to fade the ownership on the Red Sox to just go to the Cards. Pirates, Brewers, 9 runs projected in Milwaukee. Ivan Nova versus Zach Davies. Listen, Ivan Nova is a pitch-to-contact guy, and this team is hitting baseballs. They are hitting baseballs. So I think that the Brewers are in play. Vegas hasn't given them 4.6 runs, and that line hasn't moved yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see it get a creep up a little bit closer to 5 here, because Nova just got smashed, remember, by... He got smashed by the Tigers, of all people, who completely shit the bed last night. J-Up home run in the first inning. I was like, here we go. Let's go, baby. Nope. 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 Nothing. Oh, would you look at that? The Rays are getting reverse line movement. God damn it. The fantasy gods are just, they're just messing with me. It's just me. They're coming after me, you guys. They're toying with my heart. So as I said, Brewers are interesting. That total hasn't gone up. It hasn't. I just checked. Tigers, Rangers again, 10 runs projected in Arlington. The Rangers just play well at home. They got Verlander though, who's been really, really good. 10 runs, Verlander, Griffin. Griffin is the, like, he's Asher Wojciechowski, but he's been in the league for a long time. 60% fly ball rate. If you want to play anybody against him, it's Justin Upton. Okay, right now it's Justin Upton. Maybe some of the cheap lefties, like if you see, you know, Jim Aducci get up there, or Alex Presley, something like that. But, you know, J-Up is the best hitter on this team. He's the most consistent. He's on fire. He's the way to go. Kinsler left the game. I'm not sure if he got hurt or something was bothering him. I haven't seen why. I'm sure all my Tigers followers out there know. Reds, Cubs. No line in this one. Luis Castillo versus Kyle Hendricks. Kyle Hendricks has not pitched more than like 5 innings in the last couple weeks, so he is definitely not in play. Luis Castillo throws gas. 97 miles an hour. This is like a mini Severino we got here on our hands. But the Cubs are so hot, I can't touch Castillo. So hot right now. Hansel, so hot right now. Cleveland, Minnesota. Here we go. This is it, guys. Bartolo, again, versus the Indians. Danny Salazar on the opposite side of the hill. I don't know. I mean, Salazar with the walk issues, I put Minnesota very much in that pesky offense bucket with the Angels and the Reds because they induce tons of walks. Like, what do these teams have in common? They're like 1 through 5 on the walks taken. They take walks. They love to take walks. And against a guy with control issues who has massive K upside, Danny Salazar is a GPP only play for me tonight. I love this guy, but you need a team that's going to let him control. They're going to need a team that lets him dominate. The Twins are not that team. He could get squeezed. He could get into a jam, and you know Francona will yank him. He has no problem saying, don't worry about it, Danny. We'll go to the pen. And then that's the case. Bartolo, I have no idea what to do with Bartolo. I don't know. If you know, I would love to hear it. But it scares the hell out of me. I've lost plenty of money on Bartolo stacking against Bartolo claws. Braves Rockies 11.5 projected in cores. Cooler story in baseball right now than Chad Bettis? No, that was amazing, man. He goes 6 innings. He totally blanks the Braves. 7 Ks. Man, just came out of chemotherapy. Like, he's staring down his mortality, wondering whether or not he's going to even live to see another day. And he goes out and he gets to do what he loves at a very, very high level, give his team the win. Nothing cooler, man. Nothing cooler for that guy. It just so easy to root for, you know, him and Jameson Taillon. Like, just the human spirit, man. Fucking win for human beings. That was awesome. Sean Newcomb versus Kyle Freeland. Listen, you guys know I love Sean Newcomb, but he relies on that curveball, and that curveball is not going to curve in Colorado. You could easily go to the righties here. Nolan Arenado, injured. I don't know. We'll see. I always go to LeMahieu and Story when these things happen, especially if they're in the top of the lineup. Like, Cargo and Paro were in the top of the lineup last night. I think you'll see LeMahieu and Story towards the top of the lineup. They just kind of platoon those spots. So righties in this situation against Newcomb, certainly in play. But I don't blame you if you want to play. I'm going to just fade Coors tonight. Like, I actually think a lot of people will fade Coors. There's weather problems there. It trolled everyone last night. Makes sense. Royals Athletics, 9 runs projected in Oakland. You know, Royals continue to hit the baseball. And they did it last night. You know, not with a lot of home runs, but they hit it. They hit the baseball. They're getting Chris Smith. Chris Smith throws meatballs. And listen, if you want a righty, you know, if we want to go ahead and find someone who's going to smash meatballs on the Royals, I got some names for you. Because you guys know I always pay attention to the Royals. Because they produce. They're continuing to produce against righties. They are really productive. I think they go overlooked in this situation. Chris Smith is not a good pitcher. Phillies Padres, Mark Leiter versus Denelson Lamet. Lamet is figuring it out. Like, I don't mean that lightly. Last 4 games, no homers. That was the issue, the fly balls and the hard contact. He's figured something out. He's got a massive ballpark behind him here. You know, listen, Rhys Hoskins, that rookie for the Phils, double-donged last night. Very clear that Rhys Hoskins is streamable against lefties, but he tried to hit righties in his last series. He just couldn't do it against the Mets in that last series. So, you know, could you go to some of the Phils lefties in this situation? Maybe, but I don't necessarily want to do it against a guy who hasn't given up home runs recently in this gigantic ballpark. If he was in Citizens Bank, I'd think about it. White Sox Dodgers, 8 runs projected here. Dodgers, one of the heaviest favorites on the slate at -350 with Alex Wood versus Miguel Gonzalez. Do you love Alex Wood in this situation because he's a -350 favorite? Are there reasons to believe that Alex Wood will not be the best pitcher on this slate? There are a lot of them. there are a lot of them. We're going to talk about it. You guys know we've been paying attention to Alex Wood's slow decline. And last game of the night, Mariners, Orioles. Orioles just, they're fate at your own risk. I'm just going to say that. They're fate at your own risk. They are too hot right now. Too hot right now. No line in this one. Wade Miley versus Andrew Albers. Have you heard of Andrew Albers? No, you haven't. Because he's been terrible. He hasn't really pitched. He pitched one full game last year. He did some relief innings. He's brutal. He's brutal. He profiles very similar to Chris Smith. He's just a lefty. So I have no problem. They haven't set a line here. There's a couple games where they haven't set lines. I'm just going to refresh, see if anything came out while I was working here. No, nothing. Nothing. So we got a couple games. We're waiting on some totals. The Phillies-Padres game, we're waiting on a total. Waiting on a total from the Mariners game. Waiting on a total for the Cubs. And that's it. Those are where we're waiting for totals. So, hey, highest total, Coors, second highest, Arlington. Makes sense. But remember, you know, those totals drive ownership, right? Where did we see ownership last night? We saw it on the Tigers. We saw ownership on Coors. It is so easy. It is so easy to find places that are low owned, especially in cash games. All you have to do is move away from the highest team totals on the slate. I'm telling you guys, it's not hard. If you find a team total below 5 with a team that you like, guarantee that team is going to be lower owned than the Tigers tonight. Guarantee that team is going to be lower owned than the Cubs. People will chase the Cubs. People will go with the Indians. People will go to Coors. People are going to go to the Dodgers. There's your chalk. And the Red Sox, there's your chalk, right? Big market teams, high-powered offenses that people trust, or, you know, really plus ballpark situation, Coors. And it is, they're not the most productive offense on the slate. The Orioles were, right? The Cubs were as well last night. The Cubs were amazing last night, 13 runs. But you could have stacked the Orioles and won plenty of money in cash. Plenty of money in cash. My Orioles lineup was the one that cashed. That was the one. So, you know, it is not hard to find your chalk, pair it with something that you know isn't going to be chalky. And there are definitely some spots that we can target today that people are going to overlook that I think are valuable, that have that are plus situations. All right. Hey, that is that's what Vegas has to say. So let's jump into the player breakdown, figure out who we love. Who do you love? All right, pitching is interesting tonight, but I gotta say, I think Madison Bumgarner has to be the top arm on the slate. He's back. His last three games, he pitched against Chicago, Arizona, and the Dodgers. That's not shitty competition, okay? His K per nine rate was 9 on the nose for all three of those. He nailed 25% strikeout rate in all of those. 7 innings, 7 Ks, 1 earned basically was the average through those three starts. Now, 2 of those starts in San Francisco, sure, okay, fine. He still gives up a little bit of hard contact, okay, sure, fine. But he's in a gigantic ballpark like Miami. It's a lateral move. It's a lateral move from San Francisco. It's really not a big deal. Ty Blatch, he sucks. He's a lefty. You think, oh, lefty against Miami. Ty Blatch got blown up. Nah, come on. He pounds the zone. He has massive contact problems. Not Mad Bum. He does pound the zone, but he's got filthy stuff. He's generated double-digit swinging strike rates in his last two games. This is my favorite stat. 75% first pitch strike in each of those three. When he is cooking, that is the most dangerous thing that a pitcher can do. Put people behind in the count. 75% first swing strike. First pitch strike. Guys, Alex Wood is the next closest number on the slate, and he's at 66%. The average on the slate is like 52. 55. He's doing it three quarters of the time, he is getting ahead of bettors in the count. That means he is a dominant pitcher. That is how you dominate. You locate, you throw your pitch, and you say, good fucking luck, buddy. That's what he does. He's insane accurate. He's got super control. He's clearly in the driver's seat against three elite offenses. He went the distance with them, you got to believe that Mad Bum is the best option that you have on the pitching slate tonight. Massive ballpark behind him. All he has to do is maybe give up one solo shot to Giancarlo and, you know, get around the rest of them. It's not that hard against that team. Not that hard. I think that he is definitely one of the best. Every other measure, Miami is very average. And we've seen them against, you know, dominant pitchers struggle, you know, against Strasburg and stuff like, or not Strasburg, against Scherzer, stuff like that. So I think that Mad Bum is definitely in play. Alex Wood, yes, obviously. A minus 350 favorite on Vegas's side is a massive number. But I'm going to be honest with you. I think probably, realistically, Wood, it probably accounts for about 199 of those points. Is he a great pitcher? Yes, but he's not really a great fantasy asset right now, okay? The White Sox right now, on the year, top 10 against left-handed pitching. We knew they were good. They fell off in the middle of the season. They're surging again, okay? Currently in the top half of the league at WRC Plus in the last 14 days against left-handers. They're above average across the board. Wood is better than them. Don't get me wrong. He is an elite pitcher in this league. He is a great pitcher. However, he is not striking anyone out. Since the All-Star break, he has a 15% strikeout rate. Do you want a pitcher with a 15% strikeout rate that costs you $9,300? You don't. You just don't, okay? That number has only gone above 19% in one start. Three of the five starts since the All-Star break have been quality starts. And he's limited the hard contact, but in his last outing, it was high as 45% against Arizona. Do I think that the White Sox are going to smack him around the same way, you know, the Diamondbacks are capable of? No, not really, but the Diamondbacks have struggled against lefties all year, and the White Sox have been excellent against lefties all year. So why would I risk this situation? I just don't think he is a slate winner tonight. I just don't think he's a slate winner. I think he's a 30-point investment. Pardon me. He's a 30-point investment, but I think that there's 30-point investments at much cheaper point per dollar values. You just don't see the point per dollar value in Alex Wood right now. He's just not striking anyone out. Two of those guys that I think that you have to pay attention to that aren't nearly as obvious are DeGrom and Sonny Gray. I think that they're both really good options tonight. And I'll be honest with you. I think that this game is pretty low scoring. You saw a hard-throwing righty attack the zone last night in Rafael Montero. And Rafael Montero, man, he was due for some regression, and he finally got it last night. The guy's measurables are very good. Limited hard contact, high walk rate, but limited hard contact, you know, great ground ball rate, all that kind of thing. He has stuff. He just had to figure out how to control it, and last night he did. Six innings, six Ks, two earned. You know, okay, fine. You give up one dinger to Aaron Judge. No one's going to fault you for that, right? No one's going to fault you for that. You know, he pitched really well. One of his better performances of the year. Now DeGrom goes out there, very similar, right? Hard throwing righty against Yankees, Yankee Stadium. It's very scary. Obviously, DeGrom has hard contact issues, not like Montero. Montero doesn't have those hard contact issues. The Yanks on the year, second in WRC Plus in 2017. But listen, in the last 14 days, they're sitting at 15th in MLB, 23% strikeout rate against right-handed pitching. People are going to be torn on DeGrom. Don't get me wrong. They are going to say, I don't know what to do with him. Is it a good start? The same way that they didn't play Greinke last night. The same way that we didn't play Greinke. Like, no one played Greinke. Everyone played Quintana. Greinke had 47 fantasy points. He was filthy. He was filthy. He was absolutely elite. Elite pitchers can get the job done regardless of the matchup. DeGrom has proved that. He has pitched against elite offenses with massive success this year. Three starts against Washington, all quality starts. Started against LA just most recently. Not a quality start, but he went 5.5 innings and he got 8 Ks. Okay, 2 earned. That's not bad. That's not bad. They got his pitch count up. They worked the count. The Yankees just don't do that in the way the Dodgers do. They don't induce nearly as many walks. and against the Cubs in July. He pitched against the Cubs in July and went eight innings there. Or excuse me, he went nine innings against Chicago. Okay, I mean, he has the ability to work these teams and work these counts. We saw him in Philadelphia. He's dominant, even with the park downgrade. Obviously, Philadelphia is not New York. I'm not trying to compare those two offenses. My point is to say that the hard contact issues may come back to bite him, you know, here and there. But I'm not nearly as scared of this offense as I think a lot of people are. And I think that there's leverage in that. And it makes DeGrom one of the best tournament plays on the night because he just doesn't, people don't play him. People don't play him. And you can find on a 14 game slate, you can find value bats to fit him in. Now, Sonny Gray is a great pitcher. His metrics on paper are just so beautiful across the board. And I love him. And he's so consistent. I love Sonny Gray. I have no problem rooting for him. You know, all of his recent starts as Yankee, six innings, six Ks, two earned. 34 points, he didn't get the win. Okay, now, the question is do you think he gets the win tonight? I don't know. I mean, the Mets are number seven in the last 14 days with a WRC+. They're better than the Yankees, according to some numbers, but of course the Phillies rotation will do that for you. 25% strikeout rate with a 235 ISO. Call those Big Daddy hacks. I don't know if you guys saw that Little League World Series kid who said, "My name's da 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 da, and I take Big Daddy hacks." It's like, yeah, buddy, yeah, you do. You know, 13-year-old kid who's 200 pounds. I can relate. I can relate. Listen, Big Daddy hacks, they hit home runs. That's what they do. Do I think that Michael Conforto and Curtis Granderson are just going to keep on this tear? They're basically the entire offense. Neil Walker isn't there anymore, right? Wilmer Flores is probably not going to hit a home run off of Sonny Gray. Ahmed Rosario, very exciting. Dominic Smith, very exciting. But against a good pitcher like Sonny Gray, I don't know. Luis Sessa even, you know, kind of looked good against them. I don't really get scared of Luis Sessa, and Sonny Gray is certainly a better pitcher than Luis Sessa. So I could see a two run and done Mets team here. The problem is that Vegas is projecting this pretty much as a pick'em, and the Yankees are slightly favorite. You know, but if DeGrom gets seven innings, then all I have to do is just kind of get through, you know, maybe you get a no decision for Sonny Gray, and that's not really helping you. That's frustrating to me. So do I like Sonny Gray? I love him. I love him. I think there's excellent strikeout stuff here. Strikeout appeal is there. And I think the floor is very clear. I think you have a 30-point floor with Sonny Gray. So, I mean, you compare him immediately to Alex Wood. It's like, well, okay, I could save the money there and go to Sonny Gray. But he's, you know, he's not guaranteed for the win, which is frustrating. I do think Granderson's going to slow down, and I don't think Conforto can put this team on his back all the way through the end of the season. We've seen him slump, you know, every once in a while. Last night, he couldn't hit Luis Sessa. You know, he got a total goose egg last night. So I think there's very much a possibility that Sonny Gray has an excellent outing here. Beyond those two guys, I mean, the lineup is bad. You know, I mean, yes, Dominic Smith and Ahmed Rosario are going to be good, but I mean, the rest of these clowns, Yost Cespedes against the righty, not great, right? Asdrubal Cabrera flirting with trade rumors, hasn't really been that good recently. Wilmer Flores really, you know, okay, fine. Is he hit righties better? But yes, but he's not going to hit this righty that much better. Travis d'Arnaud, Jose Reyes, not interested. I mean, so you got two rookies, you know, you got two rookies and a couple so-so hitters against against an elite pitcher. So I don't know. I think Sonny Gray certainly is possibly in play. All right. Now, there's a couple other arms on this slate that have massive risk, but also a lot of appeal to me. And I think those are Dinelson Lamet and Danny Salazar. Now, let's talk about some of those guys. Okay. First of all, Salazar, he's the opposite of Alex Wood. The floor is not safe. The floor is not safe. There is no floor here with Danny Salazar. Massive K opportunity. Massively volatile. Amazing upside. You know, Minnesota is like the most average opponent ever, except for in one thing. 20% K rate, 100 WRC plus, 31% hard contact. It's all very, very clearly average, right? Average ballpark, all that kind of thing. Well, actually, Target plays really well to righties, but Salazar doesn't struggle with righties. What you have to figure out is the fact that Minnesota against right-handed pitching is number two in the league in inducing walks. So they share this quality with teams like LA and Cleveland, right? Salazar against LA would be tilting. You have a high quality offense that can hit the ball hard, you know, with a reasonable strikeout rate. It would be kind of scary, okay? But because of the individual bats, but as a whole unit, you know, 10% walk rate for Minnesota is frustrating. And you know for a fact that they are talking about that exact thing in Minnesota today. Listen, Salazar struggles with control. Let's see if we can get the umpire to squeeze him. Let's see if we can get him to get off his game. You know, that kind of thing. And in that sense, Salazar is a really, really hard. It's really hard to understand what he can do. You know, we saw him even in the Rays matchup. He starts to lose a little bit of control, and they yank him because they just don't really trust that he's not going to blow up. And against Minnesota, that's scary. The one thing I will say that he has going for him in the Minnesota thing is that his bugaboo is the lefties, right? And he handled the lefties in Tampa Bay really well. Of course, they're ice cold and trapped in their own heads and just, you know. But, I mean, these are the lefties that you have to face in Minnesota. Max Kepler, fine, he's been good, but he's not that good. Joe Mauer, Eddie Rosario. Can Kepler and Rosario hit dingers off of Anibal Sanchez? Yeah. Yeah, okay, fine. They have some double dongs under their belt recently. But listen, Salazar is not that guy. He's not going to give that up. So you don't have to really worry about Dozier or Sano because he's got absolutely elite numbers against righties. It's just, in my mind, it's a definition of a GPP play because he could get you seven innings, seven Ks. And listen, we've seen high strikeout pitchers torch Minnesota. Kluber torched Minnesota. Sale torched Minnesota. Scherzer torched Minnesota. Minnesota, for whatever reason, I searched for it, by the way, them against like high 20, you know, 26% and above strikeout pitchers. They just haven't faced that many high quality pitchers in that sense, which is really strange. And in some games against those pitchers, they, you know, did well. But in a lot of those games, they didn't do well. But I think the common denominator the common denominator with, you know, with those elite arms like a Kluber and a Sales, they don't walk people. Salazar does. And that's the issue that I have with Salazar. I like Denelson Lamet almost as much as I like Salazar. People are talking about him across the industry. I think he's going to attract some attention here. But listen, this guy is starting to get his stuff together. And when you have a young arm with this kind of overwhelming strikeout potential and power start to figure it out, I think you have to pay attention. And like I said, his last four starts were absolutely excellent. Okay. And you have a guy who we know has massive strikeout potential. Okay. 29% K rate on the season, 13% swinging strike rate. Yes, he has a fly ball problem, 45% fly balls. Yes, he has hard contact issues. However, I want to go through a couple of his most recent games, okay? Four games in which he has looked really, really solid. San Francisco, six innings, two earned, six Ks. Let me even go, oh no, that Coors start. He started in Coors and he got hit pretty hard in Coors. Never mind. But that was right after the All-Star break, okay? And the most recent four starts. Because this is kind of when you started to see him change his game a little bit. And really, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's not using his changeup as much. He's using his slider. He's basically going 50-50 slider fastball, which, you know, you're throwing 95 and your slider comes in at 85 and it bites hard, good luck, man. Good luck. You know, good fucking luck. San Francisco, 6 innings, 6 Ks, 2 earned. Pittsburgh, 6 innings, 7 Ks, 2 earned. Pittsburgh again, 5 innings, 5 Ks, no earned. Cincinnati, 5 innings, 5 Ks, 2 earned. Okay. What do Pittsburgh and San Francisco have in common in those 3 starts? Low strikeout offenses. Not a lot of pop, but low strikeout offense. Cincinnati, average strikeout offense. What we're seeing here is a floor of about around average 6 Ks in these games. Okay, 6 Ks, 5.5 innings against disciplined, high-quality, experienced offenses for Lamet. No home runs, limits the damage, limits the hits even, okay? The most hits that he gave up were 8 in that San Francisco game, and then it was 2-1-2, okay? You know, 2 to 3 walks. He's still a young guy. He still kind of has a walk issue. But the xFIP is going down. He's been better. This guy against high strikeout offenses, so let's look at some of the high strikeout teams that he's played against. Milwaukee, he had 12 Ks. The Mets, he had 8 Ks. Colorado, he had 7 Ks. You know, so if you get a team that's willing to swing and let Lamet control the plate, he has massive strikeout appeal. And I think that Dinelson Lamet will attract a lot of attention. I think he'll probably be one of the most popular GPP targets for people, which is why it's very easy for me to say, fine, I'll pivot to DeGrom, who, you know, has a longer track record, or I'll pivot to Bumgarner because I know people like to pay down rather than pay up. But I think that he's viable in pretty much every format. I really do. I know that that's kind of a goofy, that may freak people out a little bit, but I really do think he's pretty much viable in any format tonight. So that's where I'm at with the, that is where I'm at with the pitching. Okay. I think you want to pay up for a rock solid clear floor with strikeout upside. It's going to be Bumgarner. It's Bumgarner because he's very, very clearly solid. And then I think it's Bumgarner followed by Bumgarner followed probably by it might be Lamet. It might be Lamet because of the price per dollar value. Bumgarner, Lamet, DeGrom and Sonny Gray for me is a wash, although I do think that DeGrom has the ability to generate another extra inning and more strikeouts. I do think that versus Sonny Gray, who really has not shown massive strikeout numbers because he does rely on that great ground ball stuff. Which the Mets, you know, we know the Mets against ground ballers are pretty solid. They're willing to put the ball in play. So I think DeGrom would be number 3 for me. And then maybe Alex Wood and Sonny Gray come out in the wash. And Salazar, I'm not going to try to project Salazar. I'm not going to try to project him. But I love Danny Salazar. I love him. I just love the way he works. I love a pitcher who just goes bananas like that. Coors, let's talk about Coors real quick. Newcomb versus Freeland. Colorado righties are in play. Newcomb has breaking stuff that's just not going to break that well. And it's going to be a little bit wet out there. He's going to probably struggle. Do I want to play Trevor Story, DJ LeMahieu, Mark Reynolds? No. Do I want to play Nolan Arenado? Yes, but he's hurt. He's got a hand thing, which isn't fun. And are we seeing Colorado struggle? Yeah, if you struggle against Julio Teheran, you're struggling. Did they figure it out eventually against the Braves bullpen? Yeah, but I mean, show me a team that can figure it out against a bullpen for 3 runs, and I'll say, okay, thank you for being a Major League Baseball team. You're not special for scoring, 3 or 4 runs against a bullpen. So do I love it? No, I don't think it's a must have either. Okay. So Coors fade, fine. But if you know that people are fading Coors, then it's the time to play Coors. Batters Dodgers stack is number one. It's not hard. Dodgers, I think, are very much in play versus Gonzalez. He trolled us all with that game of the lifetime against the Astros. He took away their magic, but it's just not going to happen again, guys. It can't. He has a terrible time with lefties. There's a ton of lefties on this team that can smash. Shitty four-seamer immediately puts Justin Turner in play. Although Justin Turner versus a lefty right now is really where you want to be. I don't know if you're going to get Chris Taylor or Chase Utley in the leadoff. I like Chase Utley is one of the best sources of salary relief on this slate, but welcome to the whole club. Everybody sees Chase Utley at 2,600 in the leadoff position and part of an elite offense, and they go plug. So be different. It's an easy place to be different at second base. Just don't pay for Chase Utley or Jason Kipnis. Jason Kipnis can be the same way, right? Chase Utley, Jason Kipnis, veteran leadoff guys who are part of high quality offenses and decent matchups, pretty much plugs of the night. If you want to be different, it's not hard. You just pay up. When they get 6.2 points, you have someone who doesn't get 6.2 points. Chris Taylor or Chase Utley. I kind of hope it's Chris Taylor because I think people will go away from him, but I don't mind Chris Taylor against a righty. Corey Seager, obviously, he's there, but he hits lefties better than he hits righties. Bellinger is even splits to both. He profiles phenomenally well. Elite play. Bellinger is just an elite bat tonight. He really is. He's probably one of the best bats at the first base position, if not the best. I will cash lineup Bellinger. I see this is a good spot for him. Gonzalez, like I said, the four-seamer is bad. He's going to throw a sinker. Bellinger can really almost hit anything that moves, which is really pretty impressive. Like, he does the curveball. He does everything, right? He does it all. He does the sinker. He does the two-seamer. He grades out against every pitch, which is impressive. It means he can pretty much hit anything so long as he can locate it. And I think a guy like this, a team like this, finally coming home. They've been on the road for a while. They had the day off yesterday, which is nice. And Bellinger's home splits are just phenomenal. I mean, at home, he's got a 159 WRC plus with a 340 ISO, a 404 WOBA. Home versus righties, it's a 154 WRC plus with a 364 ISO. That's the only place that's higher is on the road because, we know Dodger Stadium is not, it's not the best home run hitters park, but a 404 WOBA basically against lefties in all formats. I love Bellinger tonight. Against righties in all formats. I love Bellinger tonight. And Gonzalez, not a good pitcher. Bellinger. Go for it. The thing that's annoying about Gonzalez is he actually trolled this team the last time. One run for them, and he can do it. Like, if he's locating and getting calls, like he can keep a team down. But then again, you get a contact team like the Red Sox blow him up for 8 runs, like in the second inning. So I think that's interesting. Cleveland versus Bartolo. Listen, if there's a team that's going to get Bartolo out of this funk, it's the Indians. Okay. They're disciplined. They hit the ball hard. They win baseball games. They're not going to let a guy who has the highest contact and highest hard contact on the slate miss their bats. They're just not. This team isn't going to do it. If you trust anyone, trust the Indians against Bartolo. I know Bartolo has been intensely tilting, but he can't stay this way forever. Kipnis, he's free. Jose Ramirez, cheap. Reverse splits against righties, loves the two-seamer. Love Jose Ramirez as a low-owned play. My guess is 10%. People forget how good he is when he's not hot. And he's not hot. Jay Bruce batting cleanup at 3,300. Very, very much in play. He's got BVP here. Two homers in three games against Bartolo. Makes sense. He likes stuff low in the zone. He hits righties well. I think he's going to hit the two-seamer. He can hit Bartolo here. So I don't mind Jay Bruce at all. Batting cleanup at 3,300 is a good price. And, you know, okay, fine, E5 too. I mean, why wouldn't you play E5 as in a righty-righty matchup? You know, I don't have a problem with that either. I would love to see Bradley Zimmer make it towards the top of the lineup. Will it happen? I'm not sure because Kipnis is back. But he may get that Brantley spot. If he gets that Brantley spot, then that's kind of fun. You can put him in there because he's cheap and we know how good he is, man. There was a time when he was basically a must roster at all costs, but he is way down buried in the lineup these days. And, you know, I guess that's what happens. You strike out. Baltimore, fade at your own risk. Fade at your own risk. They have a terrible pitcher on the mound. This Albers character is a lefty reliever, AAA in the last 3 years. One start, got blown up in 2016. A soft four-seamer and a sinker. 87 miles per hour average. Give me a break. Manny Machado in all formats. All formats. John Scope, all formats. There's your difference, right? That's how you be different with your second base spot. You go John Scope. You know, I want to say Trey Mancini too, because listen, we saw him against a soft thrower, a guy who throws meatball four seamers, in Chris Smith, and he destroyed Chris Smith. Two homers immediately. Because listen, he is an elite hitter and he was in the college level. And when you see a pitch that's like, oh my gosh, it's like I'm in college again, you just go fucking berserk and you hit it. So Mancini is definitely in play, but Adam Jones very much in play as well. And you know, I think you try to fill in Orioles everywhere. They're just too hot right now to fade. And obviously Tim Beckham, I don't want to talk about it because every time I see him in that Rays hat, it just kind of makes me sad. God, what a waste of a season. So hard. If it happens to the Brewers, I won't feel as bad. So Brewers fans, I'm sorry. I'm kind of rooting for you to melt down too, so that we can kind of be sad together. Is that okay? Can we do that? And then we have to watch the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Cardinals in the playoffs. Great. And the Dodgers. All these teams that, you know, wow, it's so hard to be a fan of an elite franchise. The Cubs, again. Major markets. Sorry. Red Sox versus Mike Leake. Listen, some of these guys are overpriced. Andrew Benintendi, overpriced. But God, he is like going to be the most Boston-y Boston darling forever. This is Johnny Damon 2.0. Have we not seen this? This is Johnny Damon. Andrew Benintendi is Johnny Damon 2.0. Like, people are going to be wearing the wigs and girls are going to be holding the Benintendi marry me signs during the playoffs. He's Johnny Damon 2.0. There's pictures of him in black and white and like Boston Magazine, like pushing his hair back and grinning. He's Tom Brady, Wes Welker, Johnny Day. It's Benintendi is there. He's in the club. He is in the I get laid for free in the Northeast club. He's there. Okay. Mookie Betts, 4.1K. Fine. Nah. Devers and Nunez are the guys that I want. 3-5 and 3-3. Are you kidding me? Again, two of the best hitters on this team against Leake, who has massive contact numbers. Okay, he's just a contact guy. He just gives up a ton of contact. Not all of it is hard contact, not all of it is for home runs, but people hit the ball off of him. And if you want the Red Sox, you want them in a situation where you don't have to expect home runs from them, right? It's kind of a dumb thing to say for DFS, but that's why they're stacking ability, because they, you know, double, single, RBI, they, you know, four times through the rotation in one inning. That's what you want from them. And Mike Leake has the ability to do that, to get that, give that up. Hanley is interesting here. 2-9, cheap. He hits the sinker well. He's at home. I think that he hit a homer in that New York series. You could do worse than Hanley here. I prefer him against lefties, but you could do worse than a cheap Hanley Ramirez in this situation. But I love Devers and Nunez. Second base, third base is hard tonight because there's a lot of really good spots there. Although Nunez is at shortstop, isn't he? So yeah. Leak, he's not going to give up a ton of power, but he's getting, you know, his last start, he gave up 11 hits and 5 runs. 83% contact rate, that's a big number. 7% swinging strike rate. I mean, this is like Ty Blatch stuff. This is bad. Okay, we would start the Red Sox against Ty Black. Block. Sorry. The St. Louis side, though, this is interesting because everyone goes to Red Sox at home. Everybody loves the Red Sox. St. Louis side, they're equally as popular, but I think that they have way more home run upside. And against Porcello, there's massive hard contact and fly ball thanks to Love against lefties. Fowler and Carpenter are definitely going to find their way into one of my lineups, no doubt about it. Now, Tommy Pham is also a home run hitter. No problem with him. What we need to figure out is who hits the two-seamer. Who hits the two-seamer? Cheat sheet, guys, you'll know. I'll tell you about who hits the two-seamer on the Cardinals because, you know, if you get like a cheap Jose Martinez up there or something like that because they know he's going to hit the two-seamer, you know, something like that, I'm going to figure this out and we're going to find out who hits the two-seamer and who's going to go yard off of old Ricky. His start against the Rays was not, it's not the same ballpark. It's not the same situation. This is a hotter offense, a much more competent offense right now. The Rays are trapped in their own mental cage of frustration. And it's terrifying and sad. Detroit versus AJ Griffin, massive fly ball problem, massive park upgrade. Justin Upton. If there's one guy that you can just plug into your lineups and feel very, very solid about from my perspective, it's Justin Upton. I think that he's pretty much he's the number one bat on this team right now. He is the he's the most likely in my mind to take advantage of the of the fly ball problem. He has one of the highest fly ball rates on the Tigers, and he hits the righties the best on the Tigers right now. If there's anybody who hits a homer, it's Justin Upton. Give me Justin Upton. You know, they could pitch around him, but give me Justin Upton. I think that you could, based on the lineup, you could go here, but this lineup has been goofy. There's weird things happening in Detroit. I don't really know what they're going to do. Detroit is a wait-and-see stack for me, but I like them here despite that. Okay, here's another spot. You ready? I always say this, but it's always true. Kansas City will go under-owned tonight. Kansas City will go under-owned tonight. Yeah, it's true. They will. I like Kansas City in this spot against Chris Smith. Listen, we saw Chris Smith give up 3 home runs to the Orioles, and guess who is hitting right-handers just as well as the Orioles are? The Royals. It's the Royals, you guys. The Royals are just as good as the Orioles right now. So I love the Royals in this situation. Brandon Moss is free. Brandon Moss is old. And Brandon Moss will hit meatballs. Brandon Moss. He's $2,100. If he's batting sixth again, which he probably will be, he has been against righties. They've been doing this like 4-5-6 thing with, you know, Hosmer, Moustakas, Moss. He's basically free. He has home run upside. Chris Smith only throws the ball 87 miles per hour. By the way, that also puts Eric Hosmer very much in play at 3-5. Eric Hosmer owned below 5%. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. It's not hard, guys. This isn't hard math. We can all figure this out. So I don't mind that call at all. I think you can go to the, you know, obviously Mike Moustakas and Melky Cabrera, they're just expensive. I think you want the Kansas City bats for salary relief. And if there's been in a good situation, it's, you know, Brandon Moss and, you know, I think, well, I don't know. Jorge Bonifacio is in there too. He's interesting because he just goes completely overlooked. God, I wish Sal Perez was playing. Where are you, Sal Perez? All right. That's about it. So, yeah, that's about it. Kansas City, Detroit, Boston and St. Louis, Baltimore, Cleveland, L.A. I like them all. I'm going to whisper something. You can listen or not. You can play the Rays against Estrada. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it, but you can. Estrada's not as good as what he did against the Yankees last time. He's just not. And there's BVP. All right, let's jump over to FanDuel and make a lineup. All right, I was fooling with this earlier, so I have something. I got something ready for y'all. I got something ready here. It's not that hard today. I mean, you have. I mean, it's never that hard on, you know, these big slates to go find good value and good spots to attack. So I got something here for you. Sorry, I was making one quick edit. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. This is really nice. Really like this lineup. Gonna save it. Log out. Very, very into this. Okay. So here it is. Mad Bum at the top. Okay. Mad Bum at the top. Then it's my full O's stack. Okay. Scope, Machado, Beckham, Mancini. Good price, low ownership. Love it. Then I go straight after the Kansas City bats, and I get Brandon Moss and Eric Hosmer, who are just too cheap to ignore. Throw in a quick Jock Peterson there because I know he's going to be batting fifth against Miguel Gonzalez. And I have a catcher, $2,600. I could do any number of things here. Alex Avila here, for example. A lefty against a hard-throwing righty? Yep. In Wrigley? Yep, I will do that. I will absolutely play Alex Avila in Wrigley Field. So, Mad Bum, Avila, Hosmer, Scope, Machado, Beckham, Moss, Peterson, Mancini. Pretty easy to pivot this and make this a, for example, make this a Cardinals stack mixed with some Orioles. Very easy to pivot off of this and make this, you know, a Red Sox stack. Very easy to pivot and even go, you know, you can quickly just go to, if you want some more Dodgers, you can just go Utley, replace Utley for Scope, and you immediately go Utley Bellinger, and all of a sudden you have Bellinger, Utley, Machado, Beckham, Moss, Peterson, Mancini. So three great Baltimore bats. The free square, Brandon Moss, who I'm going to be playing a lot of. Who knows? He could double dong. Guys, it's happened before. a while ago. It did happen, though. You know, and I love Mad Bum. So I think there's upside there. But that's it, guys. That's it for me. Good luck in your contest. I will see you mañana.